And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, y'all ever heard of David Hockney? This guy was trying to graduate art school, and his professors were like, hey, you cannot graduate unless you paint a picture of a naked woman. He was like, okay. And then he turned this in. What a mad lad. Also, he made one of my favorite paintings ever. I'm not childish, you're childish. You don't know how to appreciate art.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, March 1st. I'm J.E. Skeets, and we got Roland with us today, Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Happiest of mornings to you guys.
Hey, Tassie, we got the Bassmaster, Ripping Them Lips, Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey! Yo! The international man of mystery, always taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen here a little earlier than normal on a Monday, it's JD.
Hello!
There he is, and here we are. Yeah, shout out to the stream team, coming in a half an hour earlier. To join us live on YouTube, please make sure you continue to like and to comment and to subscribe and to share. Let's get to 40,000 subs by the end of this week. Is that a crazy goal? I don't know. Maybe.
I think it's doable, Skeets.
Okay.
If you can believe it, you can achieve it.
Achieve it. I love it. I love it. Email us your questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin' Podcast. Get them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We should be hitting the beach once again on Wednesday. So you got a few days to get those questions in. And go grab your merch at NoDunks.com. Got the hoodies and the crew necks and the t-shirts and the shorts and the mugs, and more will be coming. So go grab your gear at NoDunks.com. All right, jumping right into it, boys. NBA weekend winners and losers. Let's start with the winners. Trey, you're up first. Who do you got?
Hey, it's just one game, but the Milwaukee Bucks are the winner of the weekend. A statement win on national TV. As Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis, said, that is the primo spot on a Sunday. Bucks versus Clippers. Incredible game. Finished off an undefeated week for the Bucks. That's five straight wins right on the heels of losing five straight, which came right after they won five straight. Pretty cool, pretty weird. But the winner for me here is really Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had a straight-up dominant performance on Sunday. An MVP-type performance. He scored 17 of the Bucks' final 22 points there in the fourth quarter. I thought these were mostly dunks, but then I went back and looked at the play-by-play data. They gave him two dunks and I think three layups, which, I mean, fair enough. The guy was kind of showing off a little bit of shot-making, it felt like, there against the Clippers. All these weird floaters and Euro steps in the lane. Did a great job. What a stat by Doris Burke that he's only been called for three charges in the month of February. Wow. Incredible stuff from Giannis to be able to get out of people's way, because that's a huge way to stop Giannis. Say, we're just building a wall here. You're going to run into us or maybe miss some free throws. He did not miss free throws. Also great. 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Zero fear going to the line. Had that huge clutch dunk with 10 seconds left. Hopping down the court. Jumping up. Getting those high knees going. And the Bucks, shout out to their defense. That really brought it home. Clippers didn't score for the last 4 minutes and 1 second of this game. Great win for the Bucks. They're still somehow in third place because they've had that very weird February where they 1-5, lost 5, 1-5. It's kind of hard to make up a lot of ground that way, but the Bucks are still good. Giannis is still good, and he really showed off on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Ziller wrote in his newsletter this morning that there's nothing Milwaukee can prove in the regular season anymore, which is true. We've talked about that already, but they can remind us of what they're capable of, and I think that's what they did there on Sunday. Lee, I want to know, I know you don't do very solid plays till the end of the week, and I know it was Giannis ending in a massive dunk, but that play that resulted in the Giannis dunk late, I mean, that was very VSP-like, right? That ball was moving around, going side to side. It just unfortunately for the Varisol play, ended in a massive Giannis dunk, right?
Well, we do allow dunks. Thunderous ones I tend to avoid.
Yeah.
A lot of people were sending that one to me, but Skeetsy, I'm surprised you're asking me because I thought you would have already shot that one down straight away and said, I don't want to see that in the VSPs this week because, you know, you like you're a traditional VSPologist. You like to see things done the right way. And so I thought you would have like tried to put the clamps on that.
When has that ever stopped you? What I like and what I think is a very subtle play. You just trolled me.
But overall, you know, the Bucks, it is a very impressive win, a very important win for them because Budenholzer, I thought, was on the hot seat there for a while. But now these five straight wins are very, very important wins for them. And even though yesterday's was only a 5-point win, usually when the Bucks do win, and they only had a 4-point win too there on Thursday against the Pelicans, excuse me. But prior to that, when they do win, they tend to win pretty comfortably. They still do have the biggest points differential in the Eastern Conference, which is very important, I think, because it shows that when things do work for the Bucks on both ends of the floor, they are pretty dominant. So they haven't been that way all season so far, but they've shown flashes of it. As you mentioned, their trade with their schedule, winning five, losing five, winning five again. So that, to me, shows that the Bucks are still kind of figuring things out. And Zilla's right. Like, until we get to the playoffs and see them in the playoffs, you know, really get a convincing victory and go to the Eastern Conference Finals at worst, we're sort of going to be on the fence a little bit about this team. But Giannis flexing his muscles, showing how dominant he can be against a very, very good defensive team and a challenger, a title contender like that on prime time. Great sign for the Milwaukee Bucks.
And Drew Holiday task back in the mix too. That's obviously a little mini win there, I would say, for the Bucks. What did you take from this game? I know you talked about it a little bit on what you need to know, but anything else?
Well, yeah, the Bucks are going to have to win games by having a very solid play that's not a very solid play, it feels like, in the postseason, right? Like, they're going to have to move the ball because they don't really have, you know, traditional shot makers. And Drew Holiday started that play with Giannis. They moved the ball around, and Giannis got that wide-open dunk. And so that's a good sign for them that Giannis, you know, check the play-by-plays. It's interesting to watch that he got all those shots at the rim. I was confused by the Clippers, why they didn't have Serge Ibaka on the floor. Isn't that what you got him for? I mean, he'll like defend Giannis at the rim. Why are you playing Marcus Morris at the center towards the end of games? That was really confusing to me. But you had a guy in Drew Holiday moving the ball, and on the other end, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they didn't move the ball at all. It was just straight ISO ball. It was hard not to think of them losing to the Denver Nuggets and, you know, all the talk about, well, we need a point guard to move the ball in the postseason. They've gotten by basically as Kawhi and Paul George as point guards, essentially. Like, Patrick Beverley's not the point guard that you think of, but those guys move it, and the three-point shots have been raining down this season. But they're up five with 4 minutes late, and they lost this game because they just stopped. And then there was more excuses after the game with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard saying, we didn't pick up the pace late. And so I'm not sure what's going on in that locker room. If they are going to look to try and grab somebody, Kyle Lowry would be so good. Mm. But, you know, who the heck knows there with that situation? I was just confused. And the excuse making, it didn't like that, even though the Clippers have played well. They should have been able to beat the Bucks here. They just didn't score in the last 4 minutes. The Bucks have started to play better defense. Not sure how the Bucks really got that W when it comes down to it. It shouldn't have happened. But Giannis, the last 10 games, the numbers are gross. He wants to be part of the MVP conversation at 33 points and 13 rebounds and 6.5 assists and 75% from the line, which is amazing Giannis-like. But will he even be involved in the conversation? Can he even order the Saganaki at the table?
Probably not.
It's unfortunate.
I don't think so. It is a little unfortunate, just the way it is. He's not going back to back to back. I'm sorry. Also, you said, like, how did the Clippers lose that game? Wasn't that the theme from Sunday? How did Team X lose that game? I mean, we'll get to a couple other ones, but it felt like there was three or four, like, what? How'd they lose that? They were in complete control, and then just, like, these crazy meltdowns. Again, we'll touch on some more here.
I think Tess is right, though. The issues with the Clippers seem to be the exact same issues with the Clippers. They don't have the ball mover point guard who can take a little bit of pressure and keep the offense going when Kawhi Leonard or Paul George are thwarted in a one-on-one, and they don't necessarily have the big guy who's going to be able to lock down inside. Obviously, Giannis is a special player who's going to be able to do what he wants in the paint, but it comes down to you're playing Zubats or Ibaka or maybe a Morris as well. And that's going to be a problem against Rudy Gobert and Nikola Jokic and obviously the Lakers with LeBron and AD whenever AD is healthy again. So it feels like the questions that the Clippers had once they formed this team with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are still the same questions that they've got 18 months later. How do you address both of them at the same time? That's very tough to do.
Mm-hmm. Remember when Luke Kennard was going to help everything out there in Clipperland? I don't think he's even playing, right? He's getting the DNPs. Yeah, we thought, oh, that guy, you know, he's not bad. He can actually facilitate a little bit. Obviously a great shooter. And yeah, he's like not even really in the rotation there with Lou, at least right now.
I just don't like the excuse making. It's freaking February.
But they're good at that, I find.
Also the same problem.
Yeah, that's a they had all the chances in the world to close this game out. Yeah, Paul George just didn't hit shots. Kawhi Leonard didn't hit shots. But, I mean, just, you know. Save those excuses for May and June and July.
Yeah, like, for the playoffs.
It's so early.
You can't use them all up. Yeah, exactly.
And you had all the shots playoffs in the world. Yeah, like it's, you know, those are playoff pick excuses. I don't know why I started with the P. But anyways, those are for later. Like right now, that was ugly. That was an ugly loss for that team. I mean, they've been playing well and they've been moving it. So maybe this is just a one-off. But it wouldn't be surprising if they, you know, string a few together like they did last year in the playoffs. Some bad losses.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's go to you next, Lee. Who do you have for a winner of the weekend?
My winner of the weekend is the Miami Heat. Because in case you didn't realize, they have the longest active winning streak in the league right now. It's 6. Mm-hmm. Back to 500, tied for 5th in the East. And after such a good weekend, this shows you just how good their weekend was. I'm going to talk about the game from Friday night.
Okay.
Because they took care of the Utah Jazz. Man. They took care of the Utah Jazz, the best team in the NBA. And it was Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic who did most of the damage. Listen, of the 34 games the Heat have played, Butler's only played 21, Dragic is 20. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason why they are only at 500 right now, missing two of their veterans out there. But on Friday night, you saw just how important both of those guys were. And it was a typical grinded out victory there by the Heat, because a 1-point game with 2 minutes 30 to go, the Heat closed on an 8-1 run, made it tough for the Jazz too with their offense, their incredible offense, and the Jazz sort of all of a sudden couldn't score. And Miami just wore them down. Mm-hmm. So that was a very impressive victory on Friday night. And then last night, Jimmy Butler actually missed this one again with sort of resting that knee. Tyler Hero came back. And again, it was tied 95 with about 3.5 minutes to go. John Collins hit a three. The Hawks tied it up. They sort of kept in this. John Collins was actually fantastic for the Hawks in this one. But the Heat closed it out 14-4 run, hitting a couple of threes. Just again, really clamping down. Trae Young made not a great pass there at one point there for the Hawks. But the Hawks just couldn't score. And I think, again, that's a thing that Miami has, is that ability to lock down defensively. And then they have got guys who can close it out. Now, again, Jimmy Butler wasn't in this one to close it out, but Tyler Hero was good. Bam was good. Kendrick Nunn actually was very good in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes here. So for me, this is why the Heat, you know, doesn't really matter. We know they're not going to finish top four, but they are just at when they have all their players there, those veterans and those leaders and that ability to play defense, they're such a tough team to overlook in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they made the finals last season and no one really expected them to do that, but they just played that same way, playing their way. Bam in the middle defensively is just such an intimidating presence. And then on the offensive end, they can throw in the lobs. He's got the little mid-ranger. You've got Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, of course, who can hit the threes. But when Goran Dragic is out there, he would be a fantastic player for the Clippers, if you ask me. Someone late in the game who can actually control the offense a little bit more, take a shot if needed be, drive inside, or just set up one of his other guys, because he's got that ability to do that. So looking at the Heat right now, they're just quietly sneaking up. They're doing all they need to do, and back to 500. Very good weekend for them. I just hope Jimmy Butler can stay on the floor, because he's obviously extremely important to what they do and was playing good basketball. A lot of talk about the All-Star pick as well. The Heat did not get one. Of course, that went to Domantas Sabonis there. But it wouldn't have been Jimmy Butler. Bam, if anyone.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be the case. So,
Lee, I want to know, though. You said they got that victory on Friday night. Took down the Jazz, the hottest team, like you said. But what if they had lost on Sunday to the Atlanta Hawks? Would they still have been a winner of the weekend? That's what I want to know. Because you put it in the dock really early. I was like, hold on, they got another game here. Oh, they got the Hawks. Okay, he's confident. Yeah.
Well, I looked into it and I thought, they've won a few in a row. How many? 5 Jazz Hawks on Sunday. I didn't realize Jimmy Butler was out straight away. Right. So I'm like, oh, yeah, they got this one. No worries. And then I was watching it and the Heat led. But then the Hawks came back. John Collins, as I mentioned, he was brilliant for Atlanta last night. But managed to get to the end of this one. I was like, oh, thank God.
Sigh of relief.
Thank God I didn't have to do the old, you don't have to have a perfect weekend of their weekend.
Well, you know what you could add to the Heat too? Possibly to make like their weekend even more winning, I guess. Oladipo, Trey, turning down a two-year $45.2 million extension with the Rockets. I say that's a good thing for the Heat because, look, Oladipo and Miami have been linked for feels like last couple of years now. And so if he's saying, well, I don't want that deal with the Rockets, I mean, it's not like he couldn't sign with them still, or there could be a sign and trade, or he could go somewhere else. But I think that's sort of like a little good thing for the Heat. Am I wrong?
I'm not as convinced on Victor Oladipo. I don't think that the Heat necessarily need him. They've got Goran Dragic. They've got Jimmy Butler. Those are going to be their two perimeter guys. Then they've got three-point shooters everywhere else. I don't think it's worth giving up any of their future pieces, certainly for a trade for Oladipo. If he wants to come and hang out in the summer, that's totally fine by me. I just don't think I would necessarily be giving anything up from a team that has come together a little bit here, because, Lee, you say they can't get the top four in the Eastern Conference. I think that is certainly still on the board. They're a half game back of fourth right now. They're 13-8 with Jimmy Butler in the league. That's one of the top eight records winning percentage-wise if he were to be there for the entire season. And they're eighth in defense right now, and it was really the defense this weekend that was incredible. They held the Jazz, the best three-point shooting team in the league, under 33% from three. They held the Hawks under 23% from three. And they're just doing enough on offense. I think it's certainly possible that they got home court advantage come playoff time.
But Trey, my Knicks are back.
Oh,
they're back.
Yeah.
They're back. So they're back.
Yeah, the Knicks have to get a winner of the weekend, too. Yeah. You must have been. Yeah, I can't believe you don't have a Knicks shirt on here.
I got the Lakers because I had the Knicks one on Friday, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done a wash since then, so that's why I've gone with
the Lakers. The Lakers got some victories over the weekend, too. But yeah, the Knicks are above 500. They beat the Pistons on Sunday. They're 18-17. They've won, I think, seven of their last nine. And yeah, right now they have the fourth best record in the Eastern Conference. And people are so pumped up. They're saying Julius Randle is better than Chris Bosh on Twitter. So the Knicks fans are back and they're loving it. And kudos to them. I mean, they're obviously playing well and it's a pretty impressive task that they're that high. So just to slip them in there, the Knicks definitely a winner of the weekend too, right?
Sure. Yeah, the Eastern Conference standings are bonkers. The two teams that made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, the Heat and the Celtics, are tied at 500, 17-17 for the fifth spot. And the Raptors, the team that went and won the championship the year before, are tied with them as well. So it's a three-way tie, half game back of the Knicks. That's clogged. Yeah, the Knicks are...
Can I use your plunger?
Clogged. Yeah, please. Please, big clog a dog. Unclog these standings. They're nuts. From the Knicks, they would have home court advantage, but they're also two games out of slipping, or two games from slipping to like the 11th seed. Like anything can happen in the East. So you got to keep it up, because obviously the Heat started slow. The Raptors started slow. They're coming. Those two teams are just too good. And the Celtics, who the heck knows with that team? They're lucky to beat the Wizards. Real, real lucky. But, you know, the Heat thing with Victor Oladipo is so interesting, because it doesn't feel like they need him at all. Yeah, Dragic, Butler, and then Tyler Hero. Don't you want those guys controlling the ball? But the Rockets have to trade him now, don't they?
Mm.
After offering him a two-year extension, he says no. What are they going to go into the offseason and say, we'll give you four for the max? I mean, he's not playing to that capability.
Right.
That's 2 years and basically max money. He's, you know, shooting 29% from three. Just doesn't look like himself. He's still injured. You know, if the Heat are willing to give up even just any young player, I would say, whether it's Precious Achiuwa or Kendrick Nunn, the trade machine says it works with Kelly Olynyk. I think Mo Harkless, and then one of those guys. If you can get one of those guys, I think you do it. Because what if they go into the offseason, Victor Oladipo, the only guy, sorry, Dante Exum, that they got in the James Harden trade, then they let him go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a treasure trove of picks for James Harden. That's it. Because you can't sign him to a four-year deal. I mean, that it makes sense to sign him to 2 years, I think. Lines him up with John Wall, but
He obviously thinks he's worth more than that. Exactly. Yeah. And he wants to lock up a long-term role. Yeah, you're right. It's the potential to trade him now before the deadline. Or, you know, you could do the sign and trade, of course, in the offseason with another team, and maybe you're getting something back. But yeah, we'll see what they do with them. I don't disagree with you. Also, I threw that into the Heat, though, Trey. I agree with you. I wouldn't, well, it depends. What Tass was throwing out there, you know, you're not giving up a ton. You know, if it's like a package led by Kendrick Nunn or something like that, and And I can maybe talk myself into getting Oladipo on my team. But you could also wait. I just have a feeling Oladipo just really wants to go to Miami.
Exactly right.
And you're like, all right, we'll just wait until the offseason and try and bring him in here. For like, yeah, like you said, not giving up like a young stud that's a great shooter or something like that that can help stretch the floor. We'll see. All right, Tass, who you got for a winner of the weekend?
Well, let's stay young. The Memphis Grizzlies. It's just a nice little heart warmer of a story. The Grizzlies have Justice Winslow back, who I'm a big fan of. He had his best game since returning from injury. He was a member of the Miami Heat. He was a can't-touch prospect. Once upon a time, he was traded for Andre Iguodala last year, hadn't played in 13 months. He had a 20-point game on the weekend. The Grizz are at 500, and they don't have a bunch of their guys. It's a story kind of going under the radar. It's Spurs-like, where they keep winning games, but they don't have Jaren Jackson Jr. Now they're getting Justice Winslow back, and they just have a bunch of guys. It's like a traditional build through the draft mostly, and John Morant, Winslow, Jaren Jackson Jr., Xavier Tillman's a solid player, Brandon Clark, just a bunch of guys. As they've been patient, it's building. How they win games, I don't know. Taylor Jenkins is Coach of the Year candidate because they've not only those Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. have been out. John Morant missed a big stretch. Yep. So the player that they got in the trade for Andre Iguodala is now performing. And if you remember that trade, I just thought of it this morning when Andre Iguodala was traded and he said, you know, I can't play in this situation where, you know, we're an up-and-coming team. And Dylan Brooks and Justice Winslow spoke out and said, all right, screw you, leave. We're going to be good one day. And now they're good. They missed out on the playoffs last year in that bubble situation there, but to be at 500 I think is a real good scenario, even though, you know, they've lost a few games recently because they played tough teams, but they did beat the Clippers and then they beat a sad sack Victor Oladipo-less Houston Rockets team that have lost 10 in a row. Now they don't have Christian Wood or Oladipo, so that stinks for them, but the Grizzlies are on the rise and they got cool hair, and we never really talked about their hair at all on this show. Justice Winslow's got green hair, and John Morant's got red hair. Just little accents.
Yeah,
not taking over their heads, but that's cool. In those, you know, those, that's their colors, the green and the red. It's not like a dark green. It's like that Memphis Grizzlies tealy green, whatever you call it. I don't know. But
so you think this is an absolutely coordinated hair decision here from the Grizz?
100 billion percent.
Wow.
I think so. I've seen them hugging on the sideline. I think they're buds, and I think they went to the hairdresser and said, or before they went to the hairdresser, they knew what they were doing. They said, we're coloring it up. Now they just need white hair, I think, to fully complete
to do the whole
the
color
Grizzlies
palette?
Colors. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think maybe I 100% agree with you. I feel like they've gone really under the radar. With like, I'll be honest, I was a little shocked when you said they're at 500. I was like, well, are they? Wow, good for them. Very Spurs-like, where it's just like they keep just plugging along, next man up. There's all these injuries, whatever, and they just keep pulling out enough victories. I think a part of it maybe though is why we're not talking about them. I saw that ESPN Stats and Info said that last night the Grizzlies became the first team with multiple 30-point losses and multiple 30-point wins in a single month.
Respect.
So it's like maybe you're looking at the box score or the results and you're like, oh, they lost by 30. Oh, they won by 30. It's just weird. First time since the Lakers in November 1966 that's happened.
Oh, man, what was that month like, Lee?
Yeah. Do you remember that month, Lee?
It was a tough month for us, man. I think we were still Minneapolis.
I believe you were, yes. You and George Mike, and I guess you were riding the pine at that point, weren't you? Yeah, you were on the team. All right, so Grizzlies getting a little winner of the weekend.
Great line by Steven Silas after this game. The Rockets obviously got smashed. They shot 27% from the field, 4 of 45 from 3, and Steven Silas afterwards said, "The missing of shots is really plaguing us this season." Turns out missing shots, bad for the offense. It's not working out for Houston. Got to make some shots.
Hey, let's be honest here. We're always talking about the MVP dinner, the MVP conversation. Who's at the table? I think we got to make room for Christian Wood.
Oh,
he's got to be there. He might be the most valuable player to any team. I mean, when he plays, they're decent. When he isn't, they can't win a damn game. They just get hammered.
That's why he got all-star starter votes, Skeets.
Yeah,
people
I guess
knew.
So. Oh, my God. They are bad. Seriously bad without him. I'm obviously joking having him in the MVP conversation, but he's important for them. All right, a couple more little mini winners here. The 2021 dunk contest. I'm going to make it a winner of the weekend because we now know who's in it. And I think some people will maybe call it a loser of the weekend because I'm sure some people are like, what? Where's Zion? Huh? Where's Zach LaVine? Huh? Like, what's going on here? Here's who it is, according to reports. It's Knicks rookie Obi Toppin. We knew that. Blazers guard Anthony Simons. And then Pacers guard Cassius Stanley. And a lot of people are going to drop a, who is that? Okay, he's only played in 8 games. He's in a lot of G League for the, I think he plays for the Mad Ants, right? Isn't that their team, the Pacers G League team?
Could be, yeah.
He's a high flyer from Duke. This is a good thing, though, people. This guy can soar. He has a higher, right? He clocked a higher vertical than Zion Williamson, I think, at Duke, which is saying something. No Derrick Jones Jr. in this. You know, obviously our defending champ, he's taking a year off. He's not 100%. So yeah, it's Toppin, it's Simons, it's Stanley. It's a bunch of these young guys, which has sort of been the way it's been going over the last couple of years. But I'm still excited because I think these are three really, really good dunkers. You know, there's only going to be three, by the way. There's not going to be a fourth. Very unlikely there'll be a fourth because they're trying to get it down. You know, they're trying to jam this in during a halftime of the game. So they may want to make it a little quicker. From what I've found out, it's 2 dunks each in the first round, 1 dunk in the final. And that will be the decision, you know, how to decide it. So yeah, 2 dunks for the 3 guys, and the top 2 guys will go to the final and have 1 dunk. That's what I've been told. Couple names that were supposed to be in this, unfortunately. Jalen Brown was in it.
Mm.
And then he got a knee injury and he was a last second pull. And then I had heard that Colin Sexton was a possibility too. So I don't know what happened with him. Maybe they talked somebody else in that they thought could put a better show or something like that. But he was rumored to be in this too, but he is not. And yeah, no Zion, no Zach LaVine. So we'll see. I mean, again, I'm excited for Cassius Stanley. That's my guy who I'd be betting on to win this thing. Trey, I don't know about you again and what your thoughts are on this field, doing it at the halftime even. What do you think?
Come on, this is an underwhelming field, Skeets. This is no doubt an underwhelming, especially considering Friday. You're saying we got an all-star coming in this. Obviously, it didn't happen,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, supposed to be Jalen.
Yeah, but it's not. Like you're saying, though, Cassius Stanley, I'm excited about. I said Obi Toppin and Cassius Stanley should be in it. We've seen Anthony Simons get up. There's not going to be a lot of pressure on these guys. Yeah. You know, everybody's just going to be happy to see any sort of a dunk contest that's going to go by quickly. But I don't know. The last time I was excited for guys who were strictly in the NBA to win a dunk contest was James White during the Houston dunk contest, and it did not go well.
No.
Did not go well for Gerald Green in that one either, so I don't know. I'm setting my expectations low for this.
That's one. That's good. That's
probably
good.
Hoping that they are exceeded. I don't necessarily think that makes the dunk contest a winner to come in with low expectations. That being said, let's see it. I love the dunk contest no matter what. I'll be fired up come Sunday.
Right, right. I think that's what I'm trying to get at here. I mean, you're right. You want some of the names. Maybe you're going to pull more casuals in. But at the end of the day, I just want to see, like, creative, good dunks. And I think this is a pretty good field here. I'm excited to see what these guys can do. Lili, you'll be watching, right? Oh, hell, we might have a live stream going on. Yeah. We're doing NBA Happy Hour while we're watching this thing, right?
I'll tune in every single year for it. You know, it's just whether or not you're sort of super pumped for it. But Skeety, you know, seeing Obi Toppin in it, obviously he has the resemblance there to Amari Stoudemire, who was in the dunk contest himself. Mm-hmm. And he did that one with Steve Nash there, where Steve Nash like headed it to him and he threw it down.
Yep.
Well, Obi Toppin looks, you know, resembles Amari. A lot of people say you look like Steve Nash. You're in Atlanta. The dunk contest is in Atlanta. I mean,
I got a great header.
You've got your connections. Yeah, I've seen you head the ball. Yep. Why not? Why not? There you go. There's a chance for you to be a take part in the event. I think something there.
Okay. I want to avoid all crowds right now still, but you know what? I'll triple mask up and go drop a header for Obi Toppin. Yeah,
why not?
Absolutely.
Why not?
I'm available if they would like to do something. Remember when we were trying to talk the dunkers into dunking over all of us in Toronto All-Star Weekend? We were going to like dress up as like stereotype like Canadians. Like one guy was going to be a hockey player and somebody's dressed up as a beaver or something like that.
Did we tell Zach LaVine to do that maybe? It was somebody in Summer League, I thought. And then it actually came to be All-Star in Toronto. I don't remember what it was, but I definitely remember brainstorming the idea. It would have been legendary.
Yeah. And that ended up being maybe the best dunk contest of all time, one in Toronto. It probably was, at least top 3. Tassie, excited at all for this?
If there's anyone that I'd get close to during this pandemic, it's you three lined up, booty to booty.
Sure.
While Zach LaVine dunks over us.
Booty to booty. Wow, we're going back to back.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but change it. Zach LaVine jumping over a beaver, a lumberjack, a hockey player, and what's the fourth?
I think we said CN Tower.
Bottle of maple syrup.
I thought it was like Trey was going to be the CN Tower or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It makes it look taller, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And even if he has a felt tip, just not to hurt, Zach LaVine's undercarriage. Right. Come on, Zach LaVine. Three guys in the dunk contest.
Yeah, Tass, I heard you say that on the What You Need to Know today, that you were like, well, we still get this fourth. I don't think so, man. Mm. I really don't.
It's unfortunate. Why are they... I get it.
It's timing.
Fewer dunks.
Yeah.
Wow, come on. Zach LaVine's there. The guy just has everything in his bag. He doesn't need... I'm sure he's bringing his basketball shoes. He doesn't need anything else. Come on.
This guy's done it enough. I actually think it's completely fair. Yeah. I mean, Zion should be in it. I mean... That's a no-brainer, but I'm just worried he's going to do what LeBron didn't, just never go in it. We'll see.
Or maybe just layups.
Sure, we can do a layup contest. I'm excited. I think Cassius Stanley is the odds-on favorite to win this thing, but we'll see what they see what tricks they have in store. Quickly, some other mini winners. Tatum, you brought it up. Somebody slipped it in there, like pulling out that victory against the Wizards. Tatum was clutch in this one. I mean, he had two crazy, like, twisting, driving baskets. In the final, 15 seconds? He finished with 31.
How did he get past that bulletproof defense of Washington?
Right.
Honestly, like, Tatum, fair enough, he made the shots. But
they were nice shots. Yeah.
The Wizards as a loser. My God, what a way to lose that one. I tweeted the clip of Bradley Beal's in gorgeous layup, put him up five. He's aeroplaning.
You thought that
around.
Was game, yeah.
Ah, so everyone thought it was game.
Yeah.
And then they basically, from there, the Wizards were just like, well, just let him score. And they did. Oh my God! What an awful.
They
loss
took
that
like
was.
The anything but a three to extreme.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Much.
Like they, a
Far
lot of teams do
early.
That. Yeah. And then they played. I thought the Celtics did a nice job of like making life difficult for Beal at the end there, who obviously went for the game winner in the corner. Like they just threw a second guy at him. We keep always talking about that. Just God, make it tough. And I mean, he shot it anyway, and he almost actually hit it because he's that good. But
the
at least
play
they
before
made it
as well, he should have shot it rather than go to Russell Westbrook in the
That's
corner.
True.
Westbrook had a wide open three, but Beal was on fire. I think he had 46 in the end. Got to take that last shot. Anyway, it's the Wizards.
Yeah, it's the Wizards. Yeah, and they are 6-20 now when Beal scores over 40 points. I saw Zach Cram tweeting about that this morning. That is unbelievable. And like he had a breakdown of all the other guys to score over 20 points. 20 games or more of over 40 points, you know, your Currys and your Hardens. And like, as you would imagine, like their team's record is pretty respectable in those games. Like when your star players going for that. And it's like, here's Beal with like an incredible, like 6 and 20, I think it was. Winner to us, guys. Winner of the weekend to us. Yeah, because we had, you know, some staples here. We had a couple wedgies and we had some beef that was eaten. We'll show you in a second. But we'll start with the wedgies. Two more, which is fantastic. Friday night. It was the Raptors game coming through with one. We had, of course, Devlin and Jack on the call. So they gave us some shout-outs, even if they don't know how to say Tass's name. Let's hear it.
Wall in the paint. Kick out. Tate, three. Yeah, that's not going anywhere. You know our friends Skeets and Taz Malice, Jay Skeets and Taz Malice, they started here as Basketball Jones, and they became the starters. They're now the No Dunks podcast, and they like to call that a wedgie, Jack. And it's a basketball that is stuck right there on the backboard and the rim and no place to go, but it leads to this right here.
I love Jack's little laugh when Devlin calls it a wedgie. I don't know why.
I love it. He's great. Yeah, I like how he tells the story. He gets into it. I feel like he's sitting back on his chair. This is where the wedgie lore comes from, Jack.
Yeah.
And he tells the whole story. My friend Matt Davlin. I love my friend Matt Davlin.
Yeah,
I love
he really struggles with that last name.
He's the best.
He's always done it. But
that's fine. No problem. Thanks for telling the story, Matty D.
Well, yeah, that's how you at least tell the story. Even if you're going to mispronounce our names, we don't care. We love it. And then here's the opposite of what you do. Because we had another one on Saturday, I think it was, right? It was the Wizards broadcast on the call, number 26. And listen to this. These guys could not care less about this wedgie.
The scoring the rest of the night. He gets it going. I mean, he's going to be unstoppable. If he's hitting that with confidence, teams are not going to be able to go under on any of his screens.
Wow. Nothing.
Like, didn't even recognize it. didn't even address it. I mean, I know they're talking. I mean, I get that. But, like, at least say, oh, wedgie. Just say that. Just say, oh, jump wedgie. Wedgie. I mean, they
if
didn't.
If you're listening to that on the radio, you would have no idea anything happened.
Exactly.
You would think the game's still going on if
exactly.
you were listening on the radio.
That's my point.
That's Drew Badden right there.
Oh, yeah, that was Drew. You're right. Oh, man, that was rough. You don't like hearing that. I just, again, we don't need the shout-out. We don't need, like, yeah, the Devlin. Well, let me tell you, they started a podcast back in JD's apartment back in 2000. But say it, wedgie. I mean, let the people know that it happened. That's a great point, Trey. If that's on radio, you'd have no clue. But anyway, we're happy. We got two more. Back to getting wedgies on the weekend. Up to 26, and we're on pace. It is clipped 60 again. We're back to 61 is the pace, as we're showing you on the live stream here, thewedgietracker.com. So that's great.
Sarah Gray brings up a good point. On the Wolves broadcast, did they mention it as a wedgie? Because we know our friends Dave Benz and Jim Peterson.
Yeah, I didn't go check.
They like calling it a wedgie. I didn't check either.
I would think not, because most people tweet in when they do.
That's true.
When we get a pretty good shout out, people let us know, because, you know, we got people in mini watching the game. But we'll have to go confirm that. It's okay. We got wedgies. That's all that matters. So that's great. And then, like I said, Trey, we got some more big beef too. What a weekend for us.
That's exactly right. On Friday, big rebounding performance by Clint Capella once again. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Clint Capella had 21 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. Welcome to the Double Beef Club. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Second beef of the season for Clint Capella. And wow, once again, a sloppy, slappy beef
slappy,
for this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever grabs a rebound. Like, just grabs it and holds it with his hands. He just smacks it up at the glass. As you saw, there were several times when the ball's just rolling on the ground, and it happens to be Capella who's nearby, picks it up, gets the rebound. I'm pretty sure Mike Muscala tipped a ball in for the Hawks that Clint Capella got the rebound for. Wasn't pretty, but we're grateful for every beef. Second one of the season, the only guy with more, obviously, is Andre Drummond. Mm. I think that's why the beefs have slowed down a little bit here. Mm. Drummond hasn't been playing. He's good for about one every week at this point.
Yeah, we almost had, too, sweet applesauce this weekend from Draymond Green, right? He had the 19 assists. I was wondering if we were going to get a highlight package of that, but he came up just short. Just short. Mm. Great stuff. Great
good
stuff.
Comment here in the stream team. Because Clint Capella was wearing those beautiful orange, red, and white jerseys. Ken Diane with the comment here. Orange and red with white. Look at that marbling.
Oh, yes.
Beef marbling.
Very
well
good.
Done. Ken. Well done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to get to those jerseys in the loser of the weekend section of this show. But before we get to losers, quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
NBA weekend losers. Trey, let's start with you. Who you got?
Well, the weekend started off all right for the Indiana Pacers. Domantas Sabonis named as a replacement for the All-Star game, and unfortunately for Indiana, that was the peak. Friday night, lost to the Celtics. They shot. The Pacers did less than 40% from the field, trailed the entire second half, and the Pacers bench was outplayed and outscored by the Beantown boys, who, as we've talked about for basically the entirety of last week, have really struggled with all their role players. Basically for the season, that's part of the reason the Celtics have been struggling. Not so much on Friday night. They followed that loss up, the Pacers did, with a loss to the Knicks on Saturday. Malcolm Brogdon was a late scratch with knee soreness, and that is not good for the Pacers because they really struggled down the stretch with no real perimeter creator out there. Julius Randle, I thought, outplayed Domantas Sabonis. That's three straight losses for the Pacers. They've lost 8 of 11 overall. And because they're in the Eastern Conference, that means they are now down into the playoff tournament, sitting at 15 and 17. And all of these losses are feeling very samey. They get a nice first half lead. The game kind of evens out over the course. Maybe the second quarter into the third quarter, and then they're badly outplayed in the second half. The crunch time offense is brutal. It feels like they're just waiting for Domantas Sabonis to make some kind of crazy shot on Friday. He hit the back of the rim. It bounced off the back of the rim, off the top of the backboard, in for a three-pointer. On Saturday, he banked in a three-pointer from the top of the key. This is not reliable offense for the Pacers in crunch time. They really need to hope that these Malcolm Brogdon knee problems are minor, because Victor Oladipo, obviously gone. Caris LeVert is not back on the court yet. Same with TJ Warren. 10 of the 14 games that the Pacers are playing here in March are going to be on the road. Of those 14 games, 11 of them are against current playoff teams. I thought the Pacers were a playoff lock for this season, but this could be a tough month for Indiana. And as we've seen, they just had a tough week, and that dropped them down into the play-in tournament. If they have a really tough month, if they're really struggling on the road against some of these good teams, it's easy to see them even falling out of the play-in tournament. I've got confidence. The Pacers have been good for the past five seasons by being underestimated. That's probably what will happen again, but it's not the Pacers of the start of the season right now. They look like they're struggling out there under the weight of doing too much with Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon, but that's what they got to do. They don't really have anybody else who's going to reliably get them offense. Tough stuff for the Pacers.
Yeah, that's a good call. Man, they could definitely, in watching their games down the stretch, use Caris LeVert.
Totally. Because
that guy can get you a bucket late. I mean, hell, TJ Warren, too, for sure, would be contributing on that end. When you just need like a perimeter guy. And Brogdon's good at it. And we've seen him hit a lot of big shots. But when, he's not there, he's being asked to do a little too much. Be helped to have a secondary guy that you can like give the ball to and like go get us something, man. So, okay, Pacers, Lee, who you got for loser of the weekend?
Well, on Friday night, we speculated on Friday's show, I should say, whether or not Luke Walton would still be the coach of the Kings by today. So far, he is. It's only 7:20 a.m. on the West Coast, so he has survived so far. But look, it's probably just a stay of an execution because the Kings, look, things got off to an okay start Friday night. They beat the Pistons, okay? They had to come back, and Rashawn Holmes,
I was going
to
say, it wasn't that convincing.
No, it wasn't convincing, but it doesn't matter when you're the Kings. Just get the W they did. Rashawn Holmes actually flirted with a little beef himself there with 17. Not close enough, but, you know, he was there.
Beef.
He was sniffing it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But last night was a doozy. They were up 8 with a minute 9 to go. And De'Aaron Fox steals the ball, drives in, gets flagrantly fouled by LaMelo Ball. No complaints with that call. He whacked him on the head. So it's the Kings. The Kings get the ball and two free throws to go up 10. They had a 99% chance win probability, according to ESPN's Gamecast. De'Aaron Fox clunked both of these badly.
Yeah.
Hornets come down. Then they miss on the possession. Hornets come down, and Terry Rozier hits a three. Kings still up 5, 45 seconds to go. Marvin Bagley gets fouled. He misses both free throws. Then the Kings come down and foul Terry Rozier on a three. One of those ones where Rozier kind of kicks his legs out too. But anyway, he got the call, and he makes all three free throws. De'Aaron Fox comes down, finally makes a shot. The Kings are up still 4 with 24 seconds to go. PJ Washington hits a three, gives him 42, career high for the night for PJ Washington. Great three-pointer, great shot.
Shout out to the Chevy Trax!
Kings are still up. They're still leading in this one. Buddy Hield gets fouled, career 86% free throw shooter. He clunks the fifth consecutive free throw.
It's like a college game. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
And these were bad misses too. He makes the second one, but the Kings lead by 2 with 10 seconds to go. Malik Monk goes down, drives the lane, makes a basket, gets fouled, hits the free throw, and the Kings don't have a timeout. There's only like a second to go anyway. Yeah. And the Hornets take the victory off Sacramento. Literally stole the the game by free throws. Yeah. I mean, that's what it came down to. Just an awful, awful loss. How much of that can you put on Luke Walton, like when his team misses 5 consecutive free throws? It's a little tough to say that's bad coaching, but it just feels like, I mean, that was just an unlosable game from Sacramento. and they lost it. I love going into that game cast sometimes with these sort of games because you see the worm and it's like all the way down here, down, and then it just shoots up with like 1 second to go, 100% the Hornets win. And it's like, that's just, I mean, incredible, incredible stuff. So yeah, really bad. Will that be the death knell for Luke Walton?
That's the question. They don't play till like Wednesday, I think, yeah, right? Don't they have a break? It could be. You're around the All-Star break too.
Yeah,
you know?
He probably survives. He probably hangs on, really? But... man, what a just an awful, awful loss.
Yeah, they've lost 10 of their last 11 because they did get that victory, 3-point victory over the Pistons, like you said, 13-21. I don't know. I'm still convinced. I don't even know if he'll still survive today, if I'm being completely honest. But maybe them not playing for the next couple of days, does that help or hurt his case? And the All-Star break coming up over the weekend, again, I think that actually hurts his chances. You sort of do that whole, like, I don't know, that reset, right? Even if it is just Elvin Gentry taking over. And yeah, I mean, not that that's going to change a lot, but it's not like Luke Walton is a great coach. And I think it's just a matter of time. And it's just like, do you rip the Band-Aid off now? But that was brutal. Just, again, I said it. It's like, it felt like a college basketball game. I don't know if it's because I got March Madness on my mind here coming up as we have now entered March. But that's like, you've seen those games, right, Trey? Where it's like, it's just like the fouling game, and for whatever reason, the kids are stepping in the line, loneliest place on earth, and they can't hit these free throws, and it's like this miraculous comeback from the other team. That's what it felt like from the Hornets getting it done.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. Once you're seeing a lot of miracle shots and missed free throws, you know it's got to be March Madness, Skeetsy. What's up with De'Aaron Fox? The guy shooting 67% from the free throw line. I think that's a huge part of the reason that the Kings are 30th in defense. That guy's a super athlete. He's super quick. He should be a better on-ball defender, but basically you have to make a move and you're at the rim against De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
It's ugly for the Kings. No surprise.
Yeah. I totally agree. It felt like I was looking for True TV like every March. Oh, yeah, I found it. I can watch these play-in tournament games or whatever they're called, and here they are. And Buddy Hield, I don't like this record, but I got to mention it. He's the fastest to 1,000 threes in NBA history, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird that Buddy Hield owns that, especially because didn't he age a year while he was in the NBA?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they figured out that he had the incorrect age when he came into the league, and there was some problem when he was at college with his birth certificate. But he's got the fastest. 350 games to get to 1,000 threes is faster than Steph. So... that's a record.
How long will that last, I guess, is the...
Yeah, I think Donovan Mitchell was the quickest to 600, so I guess I think that's right.
Is he on pace then to be Buddy? I mean, where's Trae Young at? I know it's still early and stuff like that, but yeah,
game's
okay.
Changed, man.
Congrats to Buddy. We'll see if Luke Walton can survive the week here. I'm still doubtful, if I'm being honest. All right, final one here for losers of the weekend. Alluded to it. Friday night, the Hawks showed up on the court there in Oklahoma City wearing their icon jerseys. Okay, that was their red jerseys. While the Thunder, they had their statement jerseys on. That was their orange jerseys. Yeah, the result was this incredibly gross matchup of red against orange on a blue court. I think that's my favorite part, like with the blue paint there, the blue thing. Just gross. I mean, it looks brutal. So much so, in fact, that the league requested a jersey change around halftime, and they did. But the Hawks only had their red jerseys on their road trip. So OKC was, forced or made the change to white, which is fine. You're the home team. You should be wearing white anyway, in my opinion. And they throw those on and looked a little bit better there, the red versus white. But this is wild. I saw at OKC Tracker said it was like a throwback to a Hawks-Knicks game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fantastic tweet. Game. Look at that. Now, that's a lot of vibrant colors there.
Oh, with the orange lane, too?
Yeah.
Oh, those Knicks jerseys were brutal, and I'm an orange fan, but it was like they would disappear anytime somebody went to the hoop.
Yeah, it's weird. So the league, I guess, does double-check like all these combinations and approves them, because this is all like decided in advance. But the Thunder and Hawks, obviously, they like sort of slip through the approval process. But it's the first time in 4,000 games that that has happened, according to the NBA, with this system in place, like since the 1718 system. So... first time, Lee. I mean, so, you know, they just slipped through the cracks there, the Hawks did. I guess maybe it was the Hawks' fault, is what I think we're being told. Like, they only had the reds, and they should have been, of course, wearing something else, not to clash with the orange there of OKC.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess if you're on the road, It's a little harder then to go and change if you don't have the other ones. But the Thunder, you can just go to the shop and you can just buy all the shorts and shirts and put all the guys back on there, I suppose. I don't know. But I am a little surprised they did actually make them change. Because of that game, that Knicks and Hawks game back in the day, they played that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, it's the Thunder and it's the Hawks on a Friday night. Let's just get through this game, I thought. So good on them for changing.
It didn't affect the Thunder, which is good. I mean, I think they played well in the orange jerseys and they played well enough in the white jerseys and they got the victory over the Hawks. But it was just sort of a funny, I saw World Wide Web, of course, tweeting it out like, look at this. And everyone's like, oh, God, what is going on there? It is crazy. There's just so many jerseys.
These only teams... 10 turnovers, though, for both teams. Oh. So either they were playing it safe, you know, they're like, I can't really tell this orange and red apart. I'm not passing the ball, or they were extra careful about it. Nonetheless, you were, because they were definitely complaining that, you know, you would see something out of the corner of your eye. You were not exactly sure who it is. I would love to see if the passes per game were up or down for the first half there.
Maybe
hell,
the
Eddie Schumann.
Maybe the statisticians, though, just couldn't tell if it was a pass or a turnover.
Oh, yeah,
turnover.
They're like,
so
they're
just like
maybe that's
know.
An assist. I think it's an assist. Put it down. I don't know who that was, too. Yeah, also, I watched a bit of this game. There was not a lot of great defense being played, so maybe that was also a reason why there was a lot of turnover. There was a lot of olays to the rim, like guys just getting layup after layup. But very, very funny there, and gets a small loser of the weekend. Anything to add to that, Tassie? Are there too many jerseys for you, or are you fine with it? Because they do a pretty good job usually with the matchups.
I just love jerseys. Okay. It feels like they actually have cut down the last few years. I'm not keeping extreme track, but it's like they have a regulated 3-jersey set, right?
It's four, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think it's four.
Four is the earned one.
Yeah,
I guess.
Earned icon statement, and then what am I forgetting?
City.
City, that's it. Yeah. Right.
But
right.
Before, like, the Cavs were able to just change every game. Like, they felt like they were changing every quarter. A couple years back when they were LeBron Cavs, they felt like they had like 8. And legitimately, they could have. But I think now it's kind of set. I just feel bad for the equipment manager for the Hawks. He got double the laundry load after that game. Loser of the weekend.
For Thunder. For Thunder.
Oh, the Hawks. Yeah, jeez. I'm so bad. Yeah, it was the Hawks' fault. They should have changed. It should have been on the Hawks.
They should do the laundry.
Yeah.
Especially because they lost the game. Yeah, that's a good call. But then again, like, I can't blame the Hawks people because it's like anytime you go travel, Lee, I know you don't like to check a bag. You don't want to bring more than you need to. It's like, bring one. Yeah, it's fine. We'll play in this one.
I think they do it like a high school basketball team. They put their jerseys and warm-ups on before they travel to OKC. Oh, they're like, all right, let's go play.
Yeah, for sure.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Absolutely loved this tweet from @Steven_LeBron, Alex Wong. The Charlotte Hornets are cool again. The Knicks are a top four team in the East. The Bulls have a shooting guard averaging 28.7 points per game. The 90s are back, Trey Kirby. I wish Alex put the back in all caps locks there. That's my only complaint with that tweet. But otherwise, spot on. It's totally true. Hornets are cool, especially them rocking their throwback pinstripes there. The Knicks are a top four, as we talked about, and the Bulls have Zach LaVine, their shooting guard, putting up huge points. He's an all-star, giving us all these highlights. Yeah, we're back in the 90s, Lee. I mean, what do you miss most about the 90s?
The worst thing that ever happened, ever, in the year 2000 was all these countries in Europe adopting the euro, because it took away a lot of fun of traveling to other countries and coming back with a wallet full of cash from so many different countries. If you come back with some drachma, some lira, some pesetas, some francs, German or French, doesn't really matter. It was so much fun. Now, you go, everyone's just give us euros, just pay with euros. Oh, boring. I want to be in a country where sometimes it's like lunch is like 180,000 the local currency, you know?
It's fun. Yeah.
You know, instead it's just like everything's just like, it's basically like traveling with US dollars now, and it sucks. So wow. Yeah, get off my lawn, everyone. I want to go back to the old days where it was way more difficult for these currencies to change across the borders, but it's always more fun. I've got them somewhere.
You must have literally money, wasted money, really, because you have all these weird currencies that you probably maybe
just
never went back.
Just full of drachmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got them somewhere, probably at Dickie's house. I'll see if you can track them down.
That guy's got everything.
Oh my God, poor Dickie's house, man. Just loaded to the brim with all your stuff. Oh, that's an awesome Lee Ellis answer right there. What do you miss about the 90s? European currency. You never fail to amaze me. Taz, I don't know how you followed it. What do you miss from the 90s? Pennies?
I do dislike the euros in that they're like Canadian money, where they have a coin for the dollar and the two, you know, the one in two euros. Too many coins. Get rid of
too many coins. Yeah.
Way too many coins.
Weighing you down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the 90s, I just miss that you can't say party like it's 1999 anymore. I mean, that's the only thing I really miss about the 90s.
Okay.
Like, what are we going to do? Party like it's 2020? Awesome.
That's cool. Be the worst time to ever party.
Yeah, no,
the worst party yourself. Ever. Yeah. Trey, what do you miss about the 90s?
Collect calling. Remember when you would call like 1-800... Collect was a big one, and then you would have to leave your name. So for me, it was before cell phones. I would call my mom after basketball practice, leave a name, come pick me up.
Yeah.
Call from, come pick me up. All right, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Yeah. See you soon. Great way to page your mom when you're not actually making a call. But maybe they still have collect calling. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it exists, but probably the percent of users has gone down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, because I did it yesterday. I called a bank in Canada. For some reason, I couldn't get through the 1-800 number, so I used the 416 number, and it's a collect call number. So immediately the operator says, "This number accepts collect calls to tell it to go through." It was really strange.
Wow.
Weird stuff.
After running with the Bulls in Pamplona in Spain, I collect call mum and dad and just to tell them. Because basically it was like then there were no cell phones and we didn't have the internet as freely as we did. So you couldn't just like shoot a message.
Right.
So I always knew mum and dad would always accept the call charges because they wanted to hear from me. We spoke for like 5 minutes. It was a $72 call.
Just to say nothing happened.
Yeah, just to say, hey, I ran with the Bulls. Man. I remember I did it from Times Square too, the first time I'm in Times Square. Hey, mom, I'm in Times Square.
Cool.
Calls on you.
Nah, they loved it. Their parents loved that sort of stuff.
You should see the currency over here, Mom. It's crazy. It all looks the same. All these bills look the same.
The funniest thing was there was one phone box like where I was staying, and there was line up to use the phone box to collect call your parents. It was like 35 people deep. Yeah. It was incredible. So that's why it was only a 5-minute call. Like, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, this is great. Enjoy the bill.
Bill me.
JD, do you have an answer for this, man? What do you miss about the 90s? Are you there, JD?
I actually feel like I have a 90s area. Oh, hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, your mic is doing some.
Yeah, but I've got some internet problems over here. It's like it's 1997 down in here. Dial up. You guys are chopping. So I don't miss that. I don't miss anything about the 90s. I'm laser focused on the future.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Yeah, 1997, when it took you 2 hours to masturbate to porn on the internet because it had to load. It would, like, load on your screen.
Come on, come on.
Actually, that's a nice segue into this. I also want to hit you guys with the Instagram like of the night. It goes to Lee Ellis for liking... for liking Rihanna's thirst traps here. Lee's in love. Nora this morning, we're at the table having coffee, you know, obviously looking at our phones or computers, and Nora goes, "Wow, Lee really likes Rihanna's photos a lot."
I do, yeah.
Apparently, like, every time you like it before she can like it herself. So, I mean, I see why you're liking it, but it's like you're quick to it, I guess, is what she said.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know when that went up. I just saw it this morning. Riri said she's savage as. I said, yes, you are. That's a great look.
I love that it says just liked by Lee Ellis and then 3.7 million other people. Fantastic.
She's great. Rihanna.
Don't trip.
She's great.
Don't trip, man.
Yeah, don't trip. Okay. Pick 'em results. This was huge, guys. Friday night. I mean, this was absolutely massive. We had Tass and Trey tied leading into the final night of our pick 'em, at least for February. It was the Portland Trailblazers, Los Angeles Lakers game. Lakers favored by 5.5. These guys obviously picked on opposite sides to decide this thing. And Tass came through with the victory, taking the Lakers. I also had the Lakers. That's a win. Lee had the Blazers. And Trey, of course, had the Blazers, which means Trey, 8-12 for the month of February. One game worse than Tass at 9-11. So you will be paying off February's pick 'em. So if anyone has an idea out there, let us know. Let us know in the stream team, YouTube comments, tweet at us at NoDunksInc, or you can email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. We'll have to obviously have you pay it off in the next couple weeks. Anything come to mind? Trey, I thought you had said something. I don't know, like... a month ago, maybe when we were trying to think of one for Tass. Am I crazy?
I don't know. Was it the bean bong?
It was the bean bong, yes.
Unfortunately, it's the bean bong.
Yeah, it was the bean bong. I knew you had said something.
I wish I remembered it.
Yeah, chugging beans.
Chugging a can of beans straight out of a funnel.
I
wish he 99.
I made a Costco run. I could have grabbed you so many beans on the weekend.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you did blast the great beans, Graham. Appreciate seeing those just a shelf full of Bush's baked beans. The finest beans in the land, if you ask me. It's Bush's or nothing around here.
All right, so maybe a bean bong, maybe something else. Again, if you have a suggestion, Trey will be paying off February's pick 'em. But we started all over again here in March. 7 games on tonight. Tass, we're all 0-0. What's the game we're picking from?
Yeah, we're all fresh, just like the Chicago Bulls should be fresh because they didn't have to play Sunday due to a game cancellation with the Toronto Raptors, the 30th game canceled this season. They're supposed to have a back-to-back against the Nuggets tonight, but they'll be ready. They're plus 5.5, so they can lose by 5 and still get the point spread victory. We'll start with you, Trey, as the Bulls man. Denver at Chicago, plus 5.5.
Well... to be honest, I would like a few more points for the Bulls in this game. You know, I definitely think the Nuggets are ahead of the Bulls in the power rankings out there, but there's no way I'm picking against Chicago. The Bulls are back on TV tonight. Give me the Bulls.
Skis, what do you got?
That's a tough one, actually. I think I'll go Denver, though. I'll try not to overthink it, like Trey said. I mean, they're the better team, but can the Bulls keep it close? I think this was going to be one of these really close ones, right? Like, it's like... I think they know what they're doing with this line. I feel it's going to be like a 5-7 point victory for the Nuggets. So where does it fall? I'll take Denver to win by 6 or more, though.
Lee?
I think that is enough for the Bulls. Denver haven't been super convincing, especially on the road.
Hey, Lee, are you running with the Bulls tonight?
I'm running with the Bulls, yeah.
Call Dickie up, let's go.
I mean, I would like one more point, but I'll take them at 5 points. I think the Bulls have got 5 points in them. But just quickly, Trey, you said you're a Bushels man. Can I tempt you with some 365 beans from Whole Foods? Those ones are legit. Wow. So legit, you can't even get them at the moment, the my local one up the road. So just
try. You're telling me they're sold out of beans?
They're sold out of those particular brand. They've got tons of other beans there, but these 365 ones, man, put them on toast. That's all you need, beans on toast. And they're like, because we've been experimenting with some beans lately, and those are the ones that... really hit. You know, they hit different. Isn't that what the kids say these days?
Oh, those 365 beans hit different.
Different. Check them out, man. Check them out.
I'll check them out. Are you talking a baked bean here, or are you talking... What kind of specific bean? Because, I mean, 365 is the store brand.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm saying it's just a straight baked bean. That one. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't like too much.
I just like my baked beans with sauce, and that's it. I don't like too much, like, sugar and onion.
Yeah, so they're not super sweet.
No. They're good. Okay. Yeah.
365, they just
365
get
not available, huh? Sounds like
well,
not
in my local anyway. In my local, I mean, I'm sure they're in another Whole Foods, but surprised. I even had to call the guy yesterday. So you got any of those?
You got a bean guy?
I got a bean guy.
You were calling in about beans?
No. I was in Whole Foods, and I was like, they've got all the million beans in the world, and I'm like, where are your 365 bakes? And they said, we've got the Bushels, or we've got Amy's Vegetarian. And I'm like,
oh
yeah, it's...
wow, there they are.
That's them.
Organic
That's them.
Baked beans.
Yeah.
All right.
Called in to make sure the beans were there.
I'd love to see you wear a bean scarf, Lee, I'll tell you that. Photoshopped one. Tessa, who are you taking on this game, buddy?
Give me a side of beans with my nuggets. I'll take Denver. Give me some saucy beans. All right.
Okay, so you and I have Denver to win by 6 or more. That's Tass and I, and then the Beantown boys over here, Trey and Lee, are taking the Bulls.
I guess we are, man.
You guys are. That's incredible. You got a bean guy. You know the beans. You know, it's awesome.
Are you hitting up that Whole Foods on Ponce, Lee, or you want me to call in today? I know it's a little closer to my place. I could maybe run over and get you a couple of cans.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, if you go and you find some, bean me up, buddy. I'll swing by.
Why is bean so much fun to say, man? Too good. It really is.
Bean me up, buddy.
Yeah, you got to load up while you can. They must be the hot bean right now because you just can't get those 365ers. So,
Oh, by the way, to circle back to something we talked about probably years ago, I tried the Costco pizza on the weekend.
Wow.
It's good.
I thought they discontinued that, didn't
No, man. No. That's
you just can't eat it.
You can't eat
in
it inside. You can't eat it outside.
Oh, right.
Only takeout.
Yeah. Right. So it's a greasy slice of pizza. There we go. But it reminded me of like a slice of pizza like at a sporting event, basically. Like, you know, it was good. No, that's not it. Come on.
Any beans on that pizza?
No, but I'm actually intrigued. I'd throw a bean on a pizza.
No, why not?
Why not? All right, let's call it there, guys. So we're getting a little silly here. Fun Monday show. Bean meetup, man. Oh, man. Like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. You know what? Do me a favor. Just drop bean in the YouTube comments and a like. That would be great today. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. Keep emailing your questions and your comments in for this week's Beach Step and Podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can leave them in the YouTube comments, or you can tweet them in at nodunksinc. And finally, subscribe to The Athletic for $3.99 a month right now, theathletic.com/nodunk, so they know that we sent you $3.99 a month. Come on. That is fantastic. Fun show, guys. Back tomorrow with Tass is What You Need to Know. Back tomorrow with The Daily Show, and we'll see you soon. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, if you subscribe to one of our channels today, just pick one. It would be really cool beans. That would be awesome. I used to be your voicemail, right, Skeets? You just...
Cool beans?
Yeah, you would just... Cool. Your voicemail was cool. like was Trey it? Making a collect call. Like, he would just...
I think so.
Your voicemail was just... You'd go beep, and it would be you. Cool beans.
Yeah, wow, that's a good throw. Wow, great call. That's a long time ago, but
yeah,
cool beans to that for sure.
Cool beans.
Embrace people, the name,
people used to say that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like in the 90s. That's what I miss about the 90s.
When did Hot Rod come out? That wasn't the 90s. Embrace the name, people. You could stay.